We're in Proverbs chapter 18. Last time it ended rather abruptly. It's because I'm having storage problems on the iCloud, which I just deleted a ton of files, so hopefully we won't run into that again. I don't know what to tell you. They keep trying to sell me more memory, which I don't want. Okay, Proverbs 18. Let's pray. We should do that anyway as we approach the Word of God. Father, we pray for wisdom because you say you'd give wisdom to those who lacked. And so, Lord, we lack. I mean, one degree or another, we want to be wiser than we are now. So we're asking, Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom and help us to understand your Word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Chapter 18. I'm going to read a lot of these in the ESV, because I have my Bible app, my Blue Letter Bible app, open on my phone, and it has both, because sometimes the King James Version, especially in Proverbs, especially in these couple chapters, is hard to understand, like verse 1 of chapter 18, through desire a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. What? Whoever isolates himself, says the ESV, seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. You ever see the show Alone? It's kind of entertaining in a lot of ways. People lose their mind. They put them out in this remote Patagonia or Saskatchewan or Vancouver Island or something like that. And they film themselves. There's no camera crew following them around. And they lose their mind because you're not made to live this life alone. And if there was somebody just with them when they have like a setback where they burn down their smoker or they lose a fish that they're hauling in or something, they just lose their mind. But if somebody was there to say, hey, dude, it's okay. It's no big deal. We'll tomorrow's another day. We'll be all right. But there's nobody. And so they, like I say, they lose it. Now, I can understand they're lonely for the people they love and things like this. But this is what I'm trying to get across. And maybe I'm not doing a really good job. You're not meant to live your life alone. Whosoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. If you say, hey, dude, they're not going to listen because they're isolated themselves. Well, think about this in the spiritual realm. And we have an adversary seeking whom he may devour. And if you just live inside your head and all your own truth is just right here between your ears, and you don't listen to sound judgment, you're slow freight. You have a big target on your back, and there's no way it's going to come out right. You're isolating yourself. That's why God's given us fellowship. That's why he's given us community. That's why he's given us friends. Friends who have sound judgment, who give good advice, who don't mind getting up in your face and telling you you're an idiot. Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you something here. But when you believe your own narrative that you've created in your own mind, and anyone who says anything is suspect immediately. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. ESV, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. If you're talking with somebody and they can't wait till you're done so they can just butt in and say what they want to say, that's foolish. Don't be that person. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy, reproach. ESV, when wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes disgrace. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Let me say it again. A fool's mouth is his destruction. His lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are his wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. It's talking about a talebearer, or in other words, a gossip. Verse 8 in the ESV says this, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down to the innermost parts of the body. Verse 9, he also that is slothful, I'm sorry, there's a text, a group text, I hate that. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Famous verse, one of our favorites, my favorite, your favorite, a lot of our favorite in Psalms, I mean in Proverbs 18 specifically, it's one of our favorite verses. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now listen to verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as in high wall is his own in his own conceit. ESV, a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. What are we talking about? We're talking about a rich man's wealth. Isn't his strong tower supposed to be the Lord? Yes, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. But the rich man, instead of depending on the Lord, he's depending on his wealth. Now, wealth isn't a bad thing if you have it, but if you're depending on it, that's a very bad thing. We depend on the Lord. Our faith is in the Lord. Our faith is not in our bank account. Verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly and shame unto him. So listen, listen to the whole thing. Don't make up your mind. You know, we're famous in America. We read a headline. We think we know everything about the issue. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is a folly and his shame, his folly and shame in the ESV. Okay, verse 14. And it's going to develop that idea as we go along. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? A spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. ESV, again, a man's spirit will endure sickness. But a crushed spirit, who can bear? Put that crushed spirit on the back burner of your brain. We'll be bringing that out again, okay? Verse 15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Verse 16, a man's gift makes room for him, and bringeth him before great men. You just think of like someone who's like a virtuoso in an instrument or something like that. Verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. See, that's very close to verse 14. Verse 13, I mean, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. Verse 17, the ESV, the one who states his case first seems right, but until the other comes and examines him. So we're doing marriage counseling, and we hear the guy's tale of woe, and, oh, you don't understand, she's a shrew, and she's a horrible person, and she does this, and she tortures me. Or you hear the lady say, oh, he's just, he's the worst guy ever, and they give all the reasons and stuff like this. The one who states his case first seems right, until the other comes and examines him. So you hear both sides of the story and you say, oh, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. Because we have a great ability in ourselves, everything we do is correct, and we see ourselves as put upon and a martyr, and this person picking on me if they just stop, and everything we do is wonderful, and everything they do is horrible all the time. And if there's any fault, 99% of it is theirs, and maybe 1% of it is my fault. The one who states his case first seems right, until the other comes and examines him. Listen to both sides. And usually it's easy after that to get to the bottom of things, but you got to hear both sides. Verse 18, the lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty, or decides between powerful contenders. The lot, yeah, that contrivance in the Old Testament where people cast a lot before the Lord and he selects. It's how the tribes were, the land that they got when Joshua led them into the promised land, etc., etc. Say, Adam, that's Old Testament. Yeah, it is. That's how they just found out who was going to replace Judas. To say that was before Pentecost. I know what you're saying. I'm feeling you. We don't cast lots now to determine the will of God. We pray and we're led by the Spirit. I would agree with that. Verse 19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like bars of a castle. A brother offended, right? Indian proverb, after you cut off someone's nose, don't bother giving them a rose. Kind of like the same idea, you know. A brother offended. So we're trying to reach somebody with the gospel and they're not having any of it. And then it gets heated. And now names are being swapped back and forth. They say, you're a Rube. And you say, that's because you're such an idiot. You're so stubborn. And now people are offended. Try winning them for the Lord. Now, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Verse 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I think sometimes we think our words evaporate, like when you're breathing out on a cold day and you can see your breath, it's like a little vapor, it sticks around for a second and a half, and disappears. I think a lot of us think our words are like that. Nothing is farther from the truth. Nothing is farther from the truth. Every idle word that you say, well, you'll give an account of on the day of judgment. Why? Because words are nuclear. Then they don't evaporate. Think of something that happened to you when you were just a little kid, when you ate too fast and somebody called you a pig, or when you did something that was kind of silly because you were a little kid and somebody called you stupid, or used a name worse than idiot, you know, in their deliberations or something like that. Or someone called you ugly, or think about how that went down into your soul and just hurt so bad. Words are nuclear. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, death is. Well, so is life. Think about when somebody said something to you that was so gracious and so such a blessing. You felt like it came right from the throne of God, right heaped into your bosom, and it just was so healing. It was such a balm. It was so, and it just, again, it just went down into your soul and just made you feel all good. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words are nuclear. So be careful. And it's funny to me that verse 22 is right on the heels of verse 21. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Let me just say this. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. It's sad to me that that verse is not recognized as truth anymore in America. You know, we want to find a girlfriend. We want to find somebody we can have sex with steady. We want to find somebody who will move in with us, who will put on a trial. Okay, if you entertain me, if you give sex to me, if you don't be a hassle to me in any way, shape, or form, then maybe somewhere down the road, we dangle a carrot, maybe somewhere down the road, who knows? Maybe we'll get married. I don't know. We'll see. Okay. Just let's see how it goes. Nothing you could do could be farther from. See, people want to do marriage light. They want to live together first. They have no idea what marriage is. They have no idea what a commitment is. They have no idea. Marriage isn't let's try it. A test driving marriage is no marriage at all. Basically saying to a woman, okay, be absolutely incredible and don't ever mess up. And maybe we'll see. You're an idiot, okay? And two, by the way, after you involve her in your sin, if you do marry her and you try to take the spiritual reign as leader of the house, good luck. I mean, it's possible. But she already knows that you're an idiot and you don't love her because you loved yourself more. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. To find a wife is to find a good thing. Verse 23, and by the way, it's going to say things about a good wife. It's going to say things about a shrew as we go on here. The poor uses entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. Now, you got to understand when it's saying this is a truth, it's a maxim, but it's not saying it's a good thing. ESV, the poor uses entreaties, begs, but the rich answereth roughly. I don't have time for this. Because you're rich. You don't have to. You don't care, right? But that's not a good way to be, obviously. And verse 24 of chapter 18, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Again, one of our favorite verses from verse 18, from chapter 18 of Proverbs. Okay, chapter 19, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. It says in the ESV, desire without knowledge is not good. Whosoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Interesting. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Okay, this is one of those times King James doesn't shine. ESV, when a man's folly brings his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord. So what will happen if you continue on with foolishness? Ruin. Only always. And no, you're not the exception. And then what happens? His heart rages against the Lord. You continually make bad choices. Every time you come to that crossroads, you take your own desire. You don't consider the Lord. You don't go his way. You go your own way. Then what happens? Choose to sin. Choose to suffer. The thing blows up. And now you're in dire straits. And what happens? We rage against the Lord. Oh, how come you let this happen? Why did you do this to me? God didn't do that to you. You didn't consider him. You didn't love him. You didn't follow him. You didn't consider his ways. You didn't consider his word. You went against wisdom. You ended up tragically in ruin. And it's your fault. It's not God's fault. But we always want to blame God because we have this ability to justify our own actions all the time. Verse 4, wealth brings many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall not escape. Why? Because words are nuclear. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Verse 7, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. Verse 8, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. Do it God's way. It'll come out better. Verse 9, a false witness shall not go unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall perish. Why? Because words are nuclear. Verse 10, delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. It is his glory to pass over transgressions. ESV says good sense makes one slow to anger. It is his glory to overlook an offense. Verse 12, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion. His favor is as dew upon the grass. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Okay, a foolish son is ruined to his father. Correct, right? You have a son who's a fool. Ugh. A wife's quarreling is a continual dropping. The idea is dripping of rain. It's Chinese water torture. What? A quarreling wife. I don't know any of that. Well, I do know this. I don't know it personally. My wife isn't a quarreling, contentious person. But I've seen it. I've seen it in other people's lives. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It's Chinese water torture. So what am I to do? Don't do anything lead, try to be a godly example and pray. And if, listen, lady, if you're that continual dropping, stop it. Just, you're not going to manipulate your wife, your husband. You make a lousy Holy Ghost. If there's issues in his life, pray. God can change him. Verse 14, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. So your dad dies, he gives you the house, he gives you the butler, the chauffeur, the limousine. Oh, you're all set up, you're great. Good, good, right? But a prudent wife is from the Lord. She's not in the will. Your dad didn't leave you with a prudent wife. God does, and he wants to give you one. Choose carefully. She doesn't... Okay, pretty is good. I got a beautiful wife. I know all that. That's fine. But don't go for the smoking hot wife. Go for the prudent wife. Go for the one who loves the Lord. Looks sometimes can fade. What if a wife gets involved in an accident or something like that, and her pretty little face is burnt up in a fire or something like that? A prudent wife is from the Lord, okay? You want a woman who's a godly woman. That comes from God. Again, choose wisely. You only get one shot at this. That's the way the Bible is set up. You're only supposed to have one shot at this. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and idle souls shall suffer hunger. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given him, he will pay him again. This is not the only place in Scripture it says that. Whoso is generous to the poor, he lends to the Lord. And he, that's to say God, will repay him for his deed, okay? You give to the poor, it's like lending to God. Does God pay his debts? Oh, yes. Now, so what about that guy on the on-ramp, off-ramp? What about that guy who's standing out in front of the store where they're hiring, who says he'll work for food? He's pulling your leg, and you can't, I want you to be generous. It's a good thing, but you can't be generous to that guy. You're just going to be given to his next fix. That's all. He should work for a living, but he doesn't. Okay, chasten your son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Punish your son? No, discipline, always. Your son needs discipline. To be a disciple, he's going to need discipline. He's got a lot of inputs. He's got his pinhead friends. He's got TV, which is a steady stream of godlessness. He's got school, hopefully not public school. I mean, I wouldn't send a puppy to public school. I wouldn't send somebody I don't despise people, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. I wouldn't send anyone to public school. Nobody. Not in 2023. So they got all these inputs, and just let him have his own way. Don't ever tell him no. Don't ever say no, that's a bad idea. Don't ever be a godly influence in his life. Don't ever put this book into his mind. Don't ever bring him to church, have a pastor or a Sunday school teacher teach him, give him actual wisdom, and he's going to end up all right, correct? Not a chance. Okay, verse 19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. You're only going to have to do it over and over, delivering that wrathful man. People who have a short fuse just get themselves in trouble, in other words. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. That's talking about gain wisdom in the future. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. See, the fear of the Lord leads to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Evil there means harm. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. That is lazy, right? Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. What does it mean to waste his father? Well, ESV says, he who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. In ESV, cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Okay? Always have godly input in your life. You're going to need that. A worthless witness mocks at justice, scorneth judgment in King James, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and the stripes for the back of fools. Love the way chapter 19 ends. Chapter 20. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I think you should set the number at zero. I have. Does the Bible says be a total teetotaler? It doesn't. I mean, we both know that. But I think, there's no difference in my thing between one beer and two beers, but there's a huge difference between zero beers and one beer, or any cocktail or any strong drink or any glass of wine. 0 to 1 is huge. 1 to 2 is not so huge. Once you start down that road, it's a really hard time to know exactly when to be moderate, especially when you're impaired by the alcohol itself. Oh, I've only had a couple of drinks. I can drive. I'm even a better driver after I've had a couple. No, you're not. That you're being led astray because wine is a mocker. It will mock you. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Meddling there means quarreling. The sluggard will not plough by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? People proclaim their own goodness. But I'm a good person, they say, and I'm the one who says, no, you're not. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. You're not the one. You're not the exception to that rule. Many men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth on the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. I haven't seen that in a long time in the White House. A king that sitteth on the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Well, he should. Does he? No. Certainly not this one. Don't even start me on this, but I haven't seen that in a while. No, that's sad. Who can say I've made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? See, that's why most men will proclaim his own goodness. But who can say I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? The idea is nobody can. It's what they're saying. Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. That's kind of interesting to me. Does God hear? Well, he made ears. I think he knows how to hear. Does God see? He's the guy who invented eyes. I think he knows, he sees what's going on. The Lord made both of them. The grandson asks his grandfather, does God see me all the time? The grandfather wisely say, he loves you so much you can't take his eyes off of you. Well, it's a wonderful thing when we want God to see what we're doing. But if we don't want God to see what we're doing, it's kind of a fearsome thing. Love not sleep. lest thou come to poverty, open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Verse 14 is funny. It is not, saith the buyer. But when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. Oh, it's not, this car is not even going to get me home, this old lemon. I can't believe you're asking that much. Of course, then when he goes his way, I talked him all the way down, et cetera, et cetera. It's human nature, isn't it? It's kind of funny. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Gravel mouth, what a nasty way to be. Okay, every purpose is established by counsel, with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. What does it say? His lamp will be put out. Death. Why? Words are nuclear. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save you. Divers weights are abomination of the Lord, and false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and afterward, and after vows to make inquiry. ESV. It is a snare to say rashly, it is holy, and to reflect only after making vows. Again, words being nuclear, don't vow unless you mean it. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. Don't make me make a statement about our governance these days. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. Now said, this is a joke. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Okay, let's do chapter 21, and we'll end here. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Can I give you an example? Ever hear of Nebuchadnezzar? Ever hear of Pharaoh? How about the king, Artaxerxes? In Esther, I think his name's Artaxerxes. I don't remember, frankly. I'm sorry, having a senior moment. It's all that gray hair. It's affecting my brain. But the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And by the way, ma'am, so's your husband's heart, while we're on the subject. But we see that, like God giving, Daniel favor in Nebuchadnezzar's court and Cyrus's court, for that matter. Because God, at the end of the day, is the one who's driving. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. That's why I'm saying, listen to wisdom. Listen to the friends who are giving you godly influence. Listen to your pastor. Listen to those who teach the word of God. Listen to the people who come to you with common sense. They're a gift from God. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. You can only afford to be stubborn when you're absolutely correct. How do you know you're absolutely correct? When you agree 100% with the word of God in a given matter. Verse 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Verse 4, an high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But of everyone that is hasty only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do just judgment. Or in other words, they refuse to do what is just. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. Again, I don't know this. I know it by inference. I mean, it says it, and I've seen it. I have friends, I have family. I'm not going to name names. Somebody watches this, and they say, you're saying this about my wife. Probably not. I've seen it. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop. That's why guys have a shop. They build a little shop in their garage, a place they can get away from contention. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop or in your little shop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. This guy would know that. He had 1,000 women in his life, right? 700 wives, 300 concubines. Were they quarrelsome? Probably some of them were. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. I think I just better move on. Verse 20, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. You know, it says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Why? Because words are nuclear. Proud and haughty, scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? This is the second time. We talked about this last week. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. I say before we pass the baskets for collection, the collection plate on Sunday. Listen, if you don't, this isn't your church, we got this. One of the reasons, because people always say to me, oh, that money will spend like anybody else's. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. I don't want people to throw 20 bucks in the plate and say, oh, listen, I've covered my sins this week. You know, I've bribed God and now I'm okay. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind, like with the idea, I'll give money to God and this will cover all my wickedness. It doesn't work that way. Verse 28, a false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. Let's do that again. Verse in the ESV, verse 28. A false witness will perish, but the word of a man who hears will endure. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. If you're thinking, no, God's wrong, you're wrong, and no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. And verse 31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Or the victory belongs to God in the ESV. Okay, we'll end there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would enliven it to our hearts, that it would find a ready home in us, and that we would be ready to live it out. I don't suspect that we will understand and know four chapters in Proverbs, but Lord, again, you know, little by little, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. We just want to get it a little bit, grow towards the goal of knowing you better and living in a way that that you approve of, Lord. We want to be the people who take your word and apply it and live it out. So, Lord, bless today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Okay, grace and peace.